This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome in to Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Network, SiriusXM Channel 158. He's Jonathan Von Tobel. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. We are live, as always, at the world's largest sports book, Circa Resort and Casino. And we are out there on the pitch with Australia and Egypt. So before we get to anything else, let's jump right in here. Did anything stand out to you odds-wise?
This one I had nothing, so I'll watch with you and root your bet on because I knew you've got something here.
Yes, so I did end up firing on Egypt to win in the three-way line here. +141 was the price that I got. We have seen these numbers fluctuate a lot leading up to the game actually starting here. Egypt closed +145 on the money line, -150 to advance. Australia +260 on the money line, +120 to advance. Low total in this one, high total in this one, up to 3.5 right now, 2.5 at large. Australia, they're looking for their first knockout win in their country's history. Egypt, unbeaten in group play. They've never even been to this spot before. So either way, it'll be fun that we're going to get a little bit of new blood in the round of 16.
Yeah, and this should be a well-played game. You know, Australia do have some questions about how they're going to play defensively in this contest. And Egypt with Mo Salah now being fit, you expect that he is going to be himself. And we always talk about playing this game when it comes to athletes and whether or not you assume they're going to be at full strength. But I do think you're going to get a good effort here. We should get a good, tightly contested game. But I do hope you are correct because I will be a good teammate today here on the eve of 4th of July.
Thank you.
Like all of the colonists. We're good teammates in 1770.
All right, that relax.
Four? Six?
Six.
Okay.
I am glad that you brought up Egypt's captain, though, because he was dealing with a hamstring injury, had to get pulled late in that final match of group play, but he did get the start today, which made me feel a little bit more confident about where I placed my money in this one. Australia, also, I just don't think is quite as good as the group stage might make them look. Turkey, we saw them up close and personal, had all these high expectations. They didn't end up delivering on that. I think that with them falling flat made Australia maybe look a little bit better, give them this opportunity to begin with. My lone concern was that Egypt has conceded at least one goal in every match to this point. Both teams to score was another angle I considered, but ultimately ended up just on Egypt. Okay, this is the final day, by the way, of the round of 32. Three spots left in the round of 16, all to be decided today. Lots more that we have to get into. Another angle, of course, with the World Cup as well. So let's set the table for everything coming up over the course of the next 2 hours.
It's time for the top headlines and topics of the day. This is The Rundown.
In Dog Free Trust, JVT, we are less than 24 hours away from the Super Bowl of Major League Eating, the annual Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest coming up from Coney Island tomorrow. We know that Joey Chestnut and Mickey Sudo are massive favorites once again in their respective men's and women's sides, but there are a couple plus money plays that I threw in the account, and I'll also tell you why I am laying a big price with this woman to finish second, and I'm not mad at it.
Yep, it's pretty much all you here breaking this down, and I do like some of the angles that you've got. We've got a lot of different markets on this thing, too. It's the great part about it is DraftKings and other spots have really gotten creative with the things that they're hanging here. So looking forward to your breakdown and sifting through a lot of these different markets we'll have.
Speaking of getting creative, I feel like that's what's happening night in and night out in the World Cup when it comes to VAR. VAR stands for very annoying reviews in my eyes right now. Every day it's something, and we had another one yesterday. What could have been one of the best equalizers in World Cup history taken off the board by a literal hair, Croatia with the bad beat of a lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, in that game, multiple goals taken off. But either way, look, we have a lot of these reviews that take these goals off the board. We've also had a lot of incredible games, just period. And yesterday, between Croatia and Portugal, there is no difference there. That game was incredible to watch every single second of it. So, yeah, it's been annoying, but the games have been great.
According to the data provided by Connected Ball Technology, so the chip that is in the ball used out there for the World Cup, it detected a slight touch. So even though we couldn't see it with our eyes on any of the replays, wasn't available, they showed that little like heartbeat monitor at the bottom, and you see that little raise. So if he would have been bald, we wouldn't have this issue. But because he has a full head of hair, it's a no goal. Portugal wins and advances 2-1 in extra time. We'll next face Spain in the round of 16 on Monday. And we will kick things off here in the association because it is time for the decision again for LeBron James. As his agent Rich Paul said, all but one or two teams have inquired about his services. We've seen the odds and prediction markets moving all over the place as different rumors and reports have swirled. Speaking of which, we got a new one last night. Tell us more about it, please. Shams Charania.
I'm told the Sixers are also trying to make a pitch to LeBron James, along with the Warriors, the Cavaliers, and the Heat. So include the Sixers and maybe one or two other teams in due time in that mix. But the Sixers get Anfernee Simons, and they're obviously trying to continue to add to this team.
So that was Shams yesterday on ESPN's NBA Today. Obviously, we know the Sixers are going all in with the move that they made for Jaylen Brown. Shams' fellow NBA insider over at ESPN, Brian Windhorst, added his two cents on the possibility and another key piece to the puzzle for Philly.
There's a longstanding relationship between Tyrese Maxey and LeBron because of clubs.
Right.
Like, they recruited Tyrese Maxey out of college. They've nurtured them together. They've been to many events together. Joel Embiid also won a gold medal with LeBron, and the 24 Paris team definitely has some closeness to it. I've been talking all week about how Steph Curry could be a drawing card for him. So there's that connection, too. But the connection to Philly is Tyrese Maxey. Tyrese Maxey and the clutch connection, that would be where you would make your recruitment. And then obviously the Jaylen Brown move is a statement that we can win the Eastern Conference.
The city of...
Another clutch connection, JVT. So now that we have that all laid out, your reaction?
Well, it's the clutch connection. It's the fact, and this has been stated before, you know, this move with Jaylen Brown was with Tyrese Maxey in mind, not Joel Embiid. I mean, this is, by all accounts, Tyrese Maxey's team now. Mm-hmm. So when you're making decisions, it's going to be through the realm of, all right, let's see what we can do, making Tyrese Maxey happy and also building through him for the most part. So that all matters. What I find pretty fascinating about all of this is, what do you choose? We had this conversation the other day about the predictive nature of the betting market and prediction odds and how people think that they are the end-all, be-all. Well, it depends on where you look. If you go across the pond and look at some of these spots, when you talk about true betting odds, Philly's minus 200 for LeBron James to go to the Philadelphia 76ers. If you look at the prediction markets, Cleveland is still your favorite at 40% over at a couple of spots. Polymarket included 38%. So the markets are all over the place. It goes to show that if you feel like, hey, you like Philly, you're still getting that trading at like 18% at some spots. So you can go get more bang for your buck than betting at your recreation or your normal sports books. But either way, I would say this. This is a sign that we just don't know anything. Every single market, whether it's betting or prediction, is just moving on the next bit of morsel of information that is coming from Shams Charania or Brian Windhorst or others. I know we got reports earlier. I think do we have Slater here? Because like that's the other part about this. Let's play Anthony Slater for ESPN. Does a great job covering the Warriors, where it seemed like the Warriors were in the driver's seat for this. That might not be the case.
Yeah, they continue to get indications that they're on LeBron James' short list, but you know, I'm hearing a growing belief from them that they don't necessarily believe they're at the top of that short list. And you know, if they're not able to get LeBron done, you're looking at a roster that probably is going to remain relatively stable. They've re-signed Melton, Porzingis, Horford, Draymond Green is likely back. But you do have people around the league wondering, looking at the Warriors' draft ammo, looking at the way they strategically structured Kristaps Porzingis' contract so it can be traded, and wondering if they can execute a trade that could maybe lure LeBron James.
Yeah. And so another layer to that, I'll say, is we have all of these insiders that are doing their various reporting. We're also hearing straight from Rich Paul more regularly than ever on the Game Over podcast with Max Kellerman. And today we see the whiteboard, right? And it looks like what's your boy Charlie Day from Always Sunny, when you're like looking at all the conspiracy theories, like that's kind of what the board looked like behind him, where you see the core teams and their build and then the outside teams. And of the core teams, you see the Cavs, the Sixers, the Heat, as well as the Timberwolves and Nuggets,
buddy,
by the way. And then the Warriors were amongst the cluster of teams that were on the outside.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe that means something. Maybe it means nothing. But I still think, too, and it was brought up on that. I've watched a little bit of that pod with Kellerman and Paul. And one of the things that stuck out, too, was, you know, they seem to both agree that if you're talking about, like, good, perfect, almost like a positional fit, that LeBron with Minnesota would be a very, very good fit. I'm telling you. But we'll see if he actually ends up choosing that. But I do know that a lot of people kind of poo-pooed the idea of him looking at Minnesota. These guys are pretty smart, and if they were smart, they would consider that, because that is a very, very good fit, LeBron James, in terms of just basketball.
Rich Paul, he made a handful of interesting statements, one of which being, if the Knicks hadn't won, there would be no board, and that he would be going to the Knicks. Another one kind of diving into the positives and negatives of going back home to Cleveland, which, as you mentioned in the prediction markets, has been the big favorite there. Brandon Weems was brought up a lot, said basically he is LeBron's brother, repeatedly brought this up, saying that would be a big feather in the cap.
I mean, look, we're not going to find out for a while. And where he goes is going to ultimately shape whatever conference we're talking about in terms of odds. So that is going to matter because he is going to go to a team that is pretty close to contending and then ultimately could get pushed over the edge with his presence on that roster. So we're going to have to sit back and wait. I'm sure he won't steal the thunder of the 4th of July. But, you know, as we're watching this, and I'm just keeping my eye on the prediction markets too, you know, poly market's kind of slipping on Cleveland. We're starting to see the odds rise for Golden State, Philadelphia as well. Philly is obviously the biggest riser overall, but still under 20% and still underneath the Golden State Warriors over at least
at
poly market.
Also at poly market, because you say that we're not going to hear this result for a while, there is actually a when will LeBron sign market that's out there as well. 48% is on July 7th or after, but you got 15% on the 5th, 14% on the 6th. Even today, 10%.
What's the wording on that?
When will LeBron sign?
See, that's where you have to really be careful, because if it's announced on July 5th, that doesn't mean he has signed on that day. And so technically, right, you could lose out on that.
This market will resolve in favor of the listed date that LeBron James agrees to his next contract with an NBA team. If LeBron does not sign a contract, retires, or the date of the agreement cannot be determined by October 31st, 2026, the market will resolve.
I mean, what is agreement?
So it's agreed to and then not back out of.
No, I understand that. What I'm saying is, how do you know when that happens? Because Shams could report that they're in agreement, but you have no idea. I've just, some of the language is murky on some of those. I'd rather stick to next team as opposed to the date in which he signs.
But maybe it's one of those things, like, and obviously you don't have this in the rules for the market context, but if, you know, when the team puts out their thing, even if it's not officially been signed, maybe that's the way that you look at it. We have more on this because we have heard, by the way, Jaylen Brown speak on Twitch, giving his first reactions to the trade since it has happened. So we'll play you a little bit of that. And in addition to the game we've got on our screens right now with Australia and Egypt, still two more World Cup round of 32 matches to come. We've got to dive into. Stick around.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. VSiN Pro gives you access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Imam Ashour gets Egypt on the board in the 13th minute as the round of 32 wraps up today. They are up now, Egypt, that is, 1-0 over Australia. Let's keep it up, boys. Yep. As somebody that has a play on Egypt today, plus 141. Ashour, by the way, among the longer shots for an anytime goal, plus 550. Cash it if you threw a flyer on him.
That was anytime? Do you have first goal?
I don't have first goal in front of me. Sorry, I only screenshotted the markets.
I was just wondering. But, yeah, either way, that is a good payoff for you if you grabbed it, and hopefully the Egyptians can hold on.
If he gets another, though, 65-1.
65-1 for a brace, huh? All right.
Bing bong. Let's go. So we're holding out hope on this one. I am rolling with Egypt today. I've got a handful of bets, though, as we go here. And I mentioned two more games after this one eventually wraps, including Argentina and Cape Verde out there at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami Gardens. Argentina, massive favorite in this spot. On the 90-minute line, minus 700 to advance, minus 3,500. This thing has been bet out, mind you. It's minus 2,500 the last couple of days. Cape Verde, meanwhile, 19-1-ish on the money line, 12-1 to advance. A draw, you're getting 7-1 plus 750 range. Goal total here for the full game, 2.5. As high as minus 160 I'm seeing in the market on the over for that one. So expecting goals.
Yeah, I mean, expecting goals, majority of them coming from the Argentinian side is the assumption as well. And I kind of understand everything here. This seems like one of those where it's like, hey, you're probably priced really high on the Argentina side at minus 650. True probability is probably a little bit lower than that. But do you want to grab 19-1 with the Verds there and sweat that out with what ultimately should be a loss either way? Probably not. So as I think there is some value in the other way, I am kind of out on trying to catch any sort of falling knife here. How about the prices for Messi, by the way, in this contest to score or any of those? Have you seen some of these?
Minus 230 on DraftKings.
That's insane.
I did something bad, though.
Oh, what'd you do?
On Circa, they had minus 170.
That's not too bad, considering where the market is.
I threw one on. Okay. I mean, like, the dude's been balling like crazy.
-230 for any time goal, +225 for a brace, and then 8-1 or thereabouts for a hat trick.
I feel like, I know it's gross, and so that's why it's not in my best bets later. I do have another bet on this game that is in one of my best bets. I debated even telling you that I did this. Nah. But, yeah, I rolled with a -170, excuse me, on Messi to score.
Yeah.
Just get one.
Okay.
Just get one, because he should. He has every game.
Yeah, I mean, I hope he doesn't, because we're still alive here. Our guy Haaland is still alive.
Well, for me, too. I've got Mbappe's time with Mbappe right now.
I don't care about that. But we're talking about me here.
It's always about you.
Of course it is.
So my thing with this match is, listen, Argentina behind only France right now to win the World Cup in its entirety. I think Argentina, when all is said and done, is going to roast these fools. They're just at a different level of gameplay than we've seen so far. I know, dying last words. We're going to laugh when we get another nil-nil draw. Completely opposite of what we expect here. But Cape Verde, they've been the Cinderella of this tournament. I know they haven't lost a match yet because of some of these draws, but they've gotten so lucky in a few instances already. Probably should have given up more than just two goals against Uruguay. Couldn't score in a nil-nil draw against a bad Saudi Arabia team. Then you look at what Argentina's been able to do. They're a top five possession team in the tournament. They're obviously unbelievable scoring. Cape Verde, I just don't think they're going to have many chances to begin with in the attacking third. Then you pair in what Argentina is capable of when they actually do have to play defense. Yeah. So all of this comes together. I laid two with Argentina here. So if they win by just two, it's a push. But if they win in a 3-0 or more type of a fashion, which I think is entirely possible, honestly, for them against this Cape Verde team, then you're going to at least cash the win there. The over-under on the total goals for the match, again, I mentioned 2.5. That's also the team total that you can do just for Argentina at an even money to -110 each way type of a price. But I think this is going to be all Argentina today.
Okay. I mean, yeah, it's hard to argue with that. So I think it makes some sense if you wanted to go in that direction.
Yeah.
For sure.
So again, -2, my official play there, and don't make fun of me for laying -170 on an anytime goal score.
That's fine.
How about Colombia and Ghana? Colombia, a big favorite in their own right as well. Won 4 of their last 5 matches, only dropped points against Portugal. 6 goals in their 3 games so far. Ghana, meanwhile, scoring just twice in their 3, had a win, loss, and draw in the group stage. Colombia -230 on that money line, +750 for Ghana. The draw +340. Over under on the total goals for the match, 2.5.
Yeah, so I played with a couple of things here. And by the way, VSiN.com, go check it out. That was our guy. Does have some good pieces up there, including a really good write-up on this. He wants me to tell you that he has hit 11 out of his last 14 up on the website of VSiN.com.
Let's go.
So Alex has been on a really good run.
Giving me a run for my money.
Yeah, that's right. You and Alex. So who knew? But I would say that there's a couple of things, and Alex puts it pretty eloquently in the article as well. But the way that Ghana plays, kind of sitting back defensively, waiting for counterattacking opportunities, to your point about the lack of goal scoring for them throughout this group play, I don't think you're really going to see many opportunities offensively for Ghana in this game. If they are, they're going to come, you know, as they just kind of sit back and wait for opportunities. So I think that sets up. I like this Colombian side. I think that, you know, price-wise, obviously we expect them to move on, heavily priced to move on in regulation.
Yeah.
So I thought there was a couple of ways to play this. Playing on the way that Ghana decides to attack, if you will, which is more sitting back, parking the bus a little bit, and then trying to find some opportunities going the other way if they can force turnovers or get out in the open field. Under in the first half, under a half goal, you can get that at about a +185. So played under in the first half, under a half goal, so a scoreless first half. And then I thought, you know what, let's get a little froggy with it. And I parlayed Colombia to win on the three-way -230 with that under a half goal in the first half at plus. That came out to like +375.
Yeah, I like that angle. I understand it all. Alex, like you said, doing a great job. Nigel Seeley also, he's got regular articles up at VSiN.com. He played Colombia -1 on the Asian handicap, and that's the way I've considered it as well. He got -113. That has been juiced up as we get closer to kickoff now here today, anywhere from the -120 to -140 range. So do your due diligence and shop around to try to find the best number. I brought up Circa a lot today because I've been finding, honestly, like, especially for some of these props and goal scorers, better numbers here than I have at some other books. And if you are betting at Circa Sportsbook, this is something fun. For a limited time, you can fund your wagers right now with crypto using BurraPay and pay no BurraPay transaction fees either. So fast, secure, just another way way that Circa is trying to innovate for us as sports bettors. If you want to learn a little bit more, BurraPay.com is how you can do it. Take advantage of the fee-free crypto wagering all before August 31st, though, exclusively right here at Circa. BurraPay transaction fees waived as a part of the campaign. Standard cryptocurrency network and exchange fees may apply down the line. With that in mind, though, so is there anything else that you want to hit on World Cup?
Yeah, I mean, looking ahead to the weekend, so, I mean, maybe you're going to accuse me of being a pessimist here.
When did I ever do that?
But the more I've thought about this and the more I'm looking at this matchup, I think there's a couple of things here.
England?
Yeah. First off, you can get to, like, minus – I laid for our show minus 155. There's a minus 135, minus 140 out there just to advance. So I think that's going to – that's very – I think a very good price. If you look at it from the spread standpoint, I'm kind of looking around to find some spread opportunities for England. I think some of these are getting priced. You know, again, to invoke our boy Alex, I think in the article he had -1.5 goals at 4-1 for this English side. I just don't really, man, I think that they're going to be having an opportunity here to get this done against Mexico. And I think just the price is baked in a couple of things that are incorrect. First off, as we've talked about, the form of England, I think, is much better than they're given credit for, as we have discussed, right? A team that dominates possession, does find opportunities, really didn't look good in a couple of the matchups. But if you look at statistically, going back to the scoreless draw that we've discussed, actually have plenty of opportunities in a game like that. They just didn't really cash in. Mm-hmm. I do think that the altitude is probably going to bother them. That is something there that's somewhat baked into this.
7,000 feet-ish?
Yeah. But I also think that, to an extent, both the altitude and as much as I love the fact that this Mexico team has played so well in Estadio Azteca, especially in these World Cup games, maybe that's being a little overvalued by the betting market as well. Mexico seems to be a somewhat public side, and I think we're underrating the way that England has come into this game. So looking at some of the spread opportunities for the English as well, I think is going to be very profitable for you. So, I already have them to advance at that minus 155. But I'm going to be trying to find some spread opportunities for the English as well.
That success that JVT is mentioning at Estadio Azteca, Mexico has played close to 150 games there. They have only lost 8 times, the last of those defeats coming in September of 2013. They have been unbeaten in their last 26 matches there. Yeah. So that has definitely been an advantage. They're going to go crazy. But to your point, is that perhaps baked in a little bit too much against an England team that has their star player in Harry Kane with that Ghana witch doctor curse lifted, right, and he has gotten back to scoring goals and putting England over the top?
Yeah, I think they're going to be in a – I mean, you even look at this here – just England minus the half goal. I'm looking at MGM right now because I'm trying to find some different spots. Like, England minus the half goal in regular time is plus 125. You know, so just shopping around and finding it. I think that there's a pricing here that you can take advantage of. I like this Mexican side, and they're well coached, and I like the way that they play. But I do think that the way they've been playing defensively, while it's been absolutely fantastic, I think it's a different beast when you're talking about Harry Kane and the three Lions.
Also, Team USA, we've seen this number fluctuate a little bit with their match coming up on Monday against Belgium. It opened a pick'em, got bet out yesterday to as high as minus 130. We're back in the minus 115 range, so a little bit of buyback on Belgium in that spot. Speaking of Team USA, America, 4th of July is upon us, coming up tomorrow. JVT, you're already representing. You've got the USA polo on.
That's right.
I may or may not have a costume change that's coming in this commercial break, because we are going to talk about a real sport. The Super Bowl of competitive eating is upon us, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to step aside real quickly when we return, diving into all of the potential betting angles for the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest. We can bet on it all, baby. Stick around. So much good stuff to come here on Money Moves. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Plays is covering it all, winning for 15 straight years. All of it documented, too. Logs posted publicly over at sharpplays.com. That kind of transparency, rare in the industry. When Sharp Plays moves, the sports books take notice. Advanced AI, trusted insider intel. They find the value before numbers shift. Respected, watched, feared. Start winning with them at sharpplays.com. You know who else is respected, watched, and feared? Joey Jaws Chestnut in the annual Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest, America. Here we go. We're dressed for the occasion.
Yes, now we are. I called you on the way in, and I told you, like, do you have a USA shirt? Let's go. And then you kind of hung up on me. You're like, I got one. I got to go. I'm like, okay.
Well, I was walking to my car, and then I was like, oh, shoot. I didn't really, like, take this into account. So what did I do? I went above and beyond. I got all the goods. Got the Bad Day to Be a Hot Dog hat. My American flag, which I, by the way, have about 100 of these at my house. So if anybody wants some little plastic American flags, I have far too many. Yeah, I'm ready to go. The sunglasses, I think, are pretty peak as well.
Do you eat hot dogs?
Like, love hot dogs.
I don't like hot dogs.
What?
Yeah. I mean, I shouldn't say that. It's not that I don't like hot dogs, but at the cookout, 9.5 times out of 10, I'm choosing the burger.
Oh, no. I'm hot dogs all day, especially the cheese-injected hot dogs, like the best. Yeah. It's funny you mentioned
this, though.
Justin
agreed on which take? The burger take? Yeah, okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, boo.
I'm talking to our producer, who none of you can hear, by the
way. When I walked in the door today, one of our, like, awesome security guards here at Circa, who we see every day, I asked her, I was like, oh, she said happy 4th of July, early 4th of July, and I was like, oh, yeah, do you like the 4th of July hot dog eating contest? Because I was going to tell her we had George Shea on, because it's like, a legend. And then she's like, I don't eat hot dogs. I don't do that. And I was like, oh, soul crushing.
You know, what's funny is I was talking to somebody yesterday last night, and they had brought that up, and she was like, you know what's so dumb? And I was like, what? And
she's
like, the hot dog eating contest. And
I
leaned in. I was like, that's one of the best sporting events of all time.
Dead to me. I am glad that I wasn't there to get on the soapbox about that one. However,
I defended the honor.
It can be a tough watch if you are uncomfortable watching people not chew, gorge themselves, and dip food into, like, vats of water and other beverages. However, let's get into the nitty gritty of this thing, though. Because, like I've mentioned to you all week, weather is really going to play a factor in this thing. It does not feel like record-chasing weather. Triple digits out there today in Coney Island, but there's supposed to be some rain overnight that'll take a little bit of the edge off. Cloudy morning tomorrow, but in the 11:30 to 12:30 Eastern range, when all this is going down, we're going to be about 95 degrees, humidity in the high 40%. Slight wind, nothing crazy, but the headline here, hot and humid. How is that going to impact these guys? I know Mitch and Paul yesterday had Derek Heavy D. Hendrickson, who lives here in Vegas, in studio on the show. He was talking about the weather and how much it impacts things. Also, as we learned from George Shea yesterday, the state of the hot dogs and buns plays a big role. If they're cooked too close to when they're being served out there, if they've been sitting out too long, the buns can dry out. The hot dogs can get rubbery. There's a lot of layers to this thing that have to go right for you to have a record-breaking performance.
Yeah, I thought the point about if it's too hot, you know, like that the buns get stale and you got to waste time now dipping them, I think, a little bit more often, and that affecting the time. But the humidity, I would assume, because it's going to be, what, rainy? Or intermittent showers?
It shouldn't be raining.
But it should be humid.
Time. Yes, it'll be humid. It's raining overnight.
The buns should maybe not dry out as much only because it should be humid. So that should help.
Potentially. Yeah. I lean under on Joey Chestnut's total. No ultimate play here. It's already been bet down from 72.5 to 70.5. If you got on it earlier this week, like we discussed on Wednesday, I think that was a smart angle. Last year, 70.5 was the exact number that he fell on, which, if you remember, was the closing number as well. So you ended up getting a push if you played the 70.5 a year ago. But that was perfect weather. That was 77 degrees, slight breeze. Mickey Sudo on the women's side. I feel like everyone outside of Joey Chestnut last year had an off year. She only had 33. And I'm mad at myself. Bad journalism by me yesterday when we had the GOAT and, like, introduction extraordinaire George Shea on the program, not to follow up. If you remember, he said something along the lines of, she didn't have this year, she hasn't had the same amount of time to practice and prep as she had in years past. And so I was doing a little bit of digging online this morning to see what I could find. Nothing interview-wise, but I did find an article that in May, she graduated from Hillsborough College, going back to school for dental hygiene. She's also a mother of three, so I wonder if just, like, the compounding of going back to school changed up her eating schedule. Her individual total has already been bet down from 40.5 to 38.5, but the over-under combined hot dogs and buns for Sudo and Chestnut is 110.5. I do really like the under on that. For her side in general, and I think there's a little bit of intrigue for me, at least on the women's side, I like the winner without Sudo because she's dominant, right? Like, both of the Chestnut and Sudo are going to win. They're massive minus 2,500 favorites on Chestnut's side, minus 2,000 or thereabouts for Mickey Sudo as well.
She's down to minus 1,200.
I think that's insane.
Okay.
She is in a class of her own on the women's side. It's not close, even with her not being as prepared as she would want to be. Sure. Michelle Lesko, though, at number two, minus 200, I think is actually very cheap on her. She won the year Sudo couldn't compete. Mayoi Ibahara from Japan, who kind of leapfrogged her in recent years, she isn't in the competition this year. And I know a lot of people are talking about Dominika D as an up-and-comer. She's plus 250 in the finish second, like the winner without market. Rookie last year finished third with 21.5, just 1.25 back of Lesko. But that, again, was a down year for everybody, including Lesko. I don't think she can eat 30. You know what I'm saying? She has so much veteran experience in this. This other girl, I think that her price is cheaper and people are buying in on her because they know about her because she's like a TikTok eater. And so I think that's driven the price down a little bit. Lesko should be more than a $2 favorite here. So I really like her to be in the winner without market. Sudo wins, and then Lesko finishes second.
Interesting. I wonder if there's been some action on this only because while the outright market of just who's going to win among the women is still up, winner without has been taken down. It is no longer up. And
I'm changing things, guys.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a couple of other like women's markets here too. The exactas, not up there anymore either, the straight forecast.
Interesting.
So maybe there is something happening. You see this? I mean, the odds are dipping on Sudo because this is a little bit dated, minus 1,600. As I mentioned, she's down to minus 1,200. Yeah. So there might be, let me see, keep this up. So let's see. Yeah, let's go 8-1. That was 7-1.
These odds are off because that doesn't even have D on the list.
Yeah, Dominika D is 20-1. Yeah, Laurel Marie. Yeah, so we're missing Dominika there. And then that's pretty much it. So D is at 20-1. So maybe a little action on D.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think that she has been taking money, and I think it's wrong. Yeah. I think that's a fade. Also, she's been living in Seattle where it's like 60 degrees. You've got Lesko, who is in Tucson, even though it's not humid heat, you know, still 90 degrees out there today. She's more accustomed to those conditions, able to practice in it. For me, that is even at minus 200, I think is a bet to make.
I was going to say in totality. So what do you play?
Okay, I have a lot on the men's side as well. Yeah, but the women's, that's my favorite bet of this thing. It's minus 200. It's gross to have to play. You've got to do like multi-unit plays in order to get more bang for your buck. But I think it's cheap. On the men's side, I want to play this sound real quickly from George Shea yesterday in our conversation about James Webb and others. Take a listen.
I think of him as the future. And the reason for that is he's a very fierce competitor. And they all are. They all are. But some people, it's just like it means so much to them. I look at what James has done, and he has 7 world records. And he's a relative newcomer to the sport. But, you know, it's very difficult to distinguish in any meaningful way on numbers and on the 4th of July between Jeffrey Esper, James Webb, and Patrick Bertoletti, and for that matter, Nick Wary. They'll all be within 5 of each other. The question is, are you a gamer, right? Do you have that Michael Jordan kind of approach?
So I ended up playing Webb in the winner without chestnut market at 3-1, and then there's a massive price discrepancy on the Jeffrey Esper winner without market and the Joey Chestnut first, Esper second exacta market. 4-1 on the winner without market, 6-1 on the exacta. So get the better number on what is essentially the same exact bet because Chestnut's going to win this thing, barring one of his arms falling off. And even then, James Webb said on Buy the Books earlier this morning that he would still smash all of them with one arm.
Yeah, it was a good interview.
It was great. So make sure, like, you can listen to all of our shows in podcast form, wherever you get your podcast. Great interview with James Webb earlier today. So Webb, for me, he was just one hot dog and bun back of Bertoletti last year with 45.5. Okay. He had 52 in 2024. One of the things he said on Buy the Books this morning is that he thinks he can get in the high 50s. So he is right there. And as Shea said, if his competitiveness can be a differentiator here, give me Webb. And so, yes, you're going to lose one of those bets. But if you think that Webb or Esper can leapfrog Bertoletti when they're all in the same wheelhouse of about 5 hot dogs and buns, why not take a shot on a good plus money price?
Okay.
Man, I'm excited. Nobody, I am gassed up.
Nobody can tell.
Oh, it's I'm sad that I can't watch this with a lot of other people because in the Pacific time zone, it's going to be so early that nobody's going to hang out with me at 9 o'clock. 12,
you want to go to the book?
Would you really?
Yeah, let's go to the sports
book. Shut up,
would
you?
Yeah, let's go to the sports
book. I'm so down. It's crazy. I am. Yes, producer Justin just chimed in the ear too. Let's get it going. I am so excited for this.
Durango Saturday morning. Let's go.
What a time to be alive. Yes. Okay. Durango Saturday morning. Anybody want to come join us out here in Vegas? Come on down. We're going to hit it up. Crazy to think, by the way, as we're talking about these massive numbers, how far this thing has come. 1972, the first Nathan's Famous hot dog eating contest. The winner, Jason Schechter, 14 hot dogs and buns. You could do that.
No, I could not. It's a fat joke?
No, what? We got to set aside. Excited for our good buddy, Will Hill, to join the program, get some of his best bets on the day and more.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Imam Ashour for Egypt in the 13th minute, holding up so far. Egypt up 1-0 over Australia as we are now in the 45th minute. I do also want to let the record show, in case any of our bosses are watching or listening, I did change back into my regular show apparel, and then I was told to get back into the USA spirit.
Yeah.
So this is not on me. I would not want to be in trouble for this, but I do feel like it's good to represent.
I know. I was going to say, what are we doing here?
We say this, our next guest, Will Hill, joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. VSiN host, analyst, also does a great job with the Should Have Bet More podcast. He is wearing stripes today, just not the right color. Will, what are we doing?
I don't really have anything red, white, and blue, but I will be working all weekend tonight, 7 to 11 Eastern, 3 to 7 on Saturdays. I just give you my whole schedule. Then Sunday morning as usual. So look, somebody's got to work around here. So I'll be working. So maybe between now and then I will find something with a little, little patriotism feel to it.
We need some pizzazz. No.
Yeah. Come on now.
You got this, Will. I happen to know too, even if you're lazy, you don't want to go to Walmart, even though they've got a great selection over there. You can get Amazon Prime day of. I'm just saying.
Somebody tweeted in very quickly and asked if it was the Circus Sportsbook that we were talking about, but there's a property on the south side of town that we'll be at called Durango. They want to know if they can join, but yes, we'll be out there.
Yes, just because it's closer to our house.
Stormy's going to be the only one that is going to be the only blonde lady cheering for the hot dog contest.
Screaming at the top of my lungs. Do you get into the hot dog contest?
I did. I've been it before. I remember one year, I think it was Joey Chestnut was on like crutches or something. And there was, you know, that intel got out there that he wasn't gonna be able to get his over. And I bet under on that. But for the most part, I try to, and I don't always follow this rule. I try to go by the rule. Hey, I don't want to bet something and lose. Like, I feel like an idiot when I lose money on it. Again, don't always follow my own rule, but I don't have anything this year for it. Is this today? I'm out of the loop on this. Is this today?
No, it'll be tomorrow morning, but I will say that's a good memory.
That's what I thought.
That's a good memory by you, though, because, yes, Joey Chestnut, a couple years ago, I want to say it was 24, maybe 23, he had the knee injury, and he had the protester come up on stage that to, like, strangle at the same, like, absolute craziness that year. But, okay, let's get to some sports.
There was one year, too, right? They missed a row of hot dogs or something, and there was some confusion about the count. That's when it's like, man, find something else to watch. Find something else to bet. I get if you're you know, 10 or 20 bucks on it, fine. But
when
you're missing rows of hot dogs, you have to question what you're betting on.
They ended up getting the calculations correct, and that's on the counter behind them to get it right, okay? So you need to stop getting scrubs as your counters and get some professionals in there. Anyways, we can move on from this because I know we got other bets to place here, Will. And your beloved Yankees among them as they are facing
the Yankees.
Yeah, so they continue the slump, obviously. We're out to, what, 7 straight now losses over that time. I don't want to make anyone feel bad out there. Last in MLB in batting average and OPS, offense averaging fewer than 2.5 runs per game. The bullpen hasn't been great. Should we fade them, or are we thinking that this tragedy comes to an end today?
I think it comes to an end today. And by the way, there's some humorous tweets out there. You look at the Yankees batting average the last, 7-8 days. It's I think 0.95 or something over a certain stretch. Jim Abbott, career 0.94 hitter, and he didn't have a right hand. There are a bunch of those stats out there. Look, Yankees have not swung the bats well. Every time you look up fourth, fifth inning, they're getting no hit. It's gone rough for them. That being said, if they're going to get back on track, and I think they'll get back on track eventually here, Judge is staying a long way away, so these guys got to get it done. The Twins are the perfect antidote. The Yankees have just for years, for decades now, owned the Twins. I think it's going back to 2002. It's like 112-44. Yankees are basically a 120 win team when they see the Twins. I know different teams, different players, but Prelip is going for the Twins. He's a guy who's hittable. You can get the ball in the air off him. It'll be hot here at Yankee Stadium. It's hot everywhere here, East Coast, wherever. There's a lot of weather to handicap here when you're dealing with baseball. But I think the Yankees, their bats are much better than this. That's still above average lineup, even without Judge. So I think this is a bounce back spot. I'll lay the run. I don't want to lay the $1.90 or so. I'll put half my bet on the money line, half on -1.5. And, you know, it lands on one, just kind of call it even. But I do think the Yankees get back on track at some point. I do think it starts tonight, even though they have struggled. Cole has struggled. But Twins are usually just the right sort of medicine to get them back on track here.
Marlins, one of the hottest teams this month, got cooled down by the Rockies, but now they're on the road against the Athletics. A's in kind of a tough spot. They are not playing well. Their bats, they are not alive, and they just lost Rooker to season-ending surgery. So how are we going to handle this spot for Sacramento Athletics at a home park in which they have not played well, Will?
I like the Marlins. I'll take that half a run in the first five. I do this a lot. I probably should do it more often because it works pretty well when I pick my spots where you get a dog you like, and you don't have to win the game. And cash in the plus price. You just lay a little juice, and if you're even after five, you cash that. I love winning on that half a run when it's a five-inning game, and I'm already up 1-0 basically before the game starts, or a half a run to nothing. And you mentioned it. The A's, that's a great lineup when they're healthy. They're not healthy. Rooker out for the year. Jacob Wilson, Soderstrom. They're missing a lot of guys. So to me, Marlins, that's kind of a wash with the pitching matchup. The lineup probably in this state, with how beat up the A's are, probably give the advantage to Miami there. So starting pitching edge, and I think a lineup edge, I should say at least a wash here, goes to the Marlins again. I'll take that half a run here against the beat up A's.
VSiN host and analyst Will Hill joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on X as well at @NotTheWillHill. You and JVT pretty like-minded on this futures play in the NBA, though, with all of the moves that Toronto has made, bringing in Kawhi Leonard. I know, JVT, you are very high on this Raptor squad going into the 2026-27 season. How do you think could be the right angle to play on Toronto next year?
Yeah, having doing all these shows and podcasts and everything the last few days, it's so much fun talking about all these moves and Jaylen Brown. What a shocking move. Where's LeBron going to go? And we have to kind of remind ourselves, and I know you guys can relate to this. All right, we're a betting network. What's the bet? Does this trigger a bet? To me, just scanning the Eastern Conference odds, all right, everything kind of looks right. To me, what jumped out to me was the Raptors to win the Atlantic Division, and that's a fun division, a competitive division now. Knicks, Celtics, and the Sixers. Obviously, that rivalry is going to be amped up. But to me, Raptors at +550, +600, you can find at DraftKings. That one stuck out. I think the Knicks probably take a step back just because, you know, they won a championship. It's a veteran team, partying all summer. They probably don't take the regular season as seriously coming off a title. We see that all the time with veteran teams that win championships. So they take a step back. I think the Celtics, you could certainly see a path where they take a step back. Sixers are good, but I'll take a shot on the number here with Toronto. I think it's going to be outstanding defensively. We'll see what we get out of Kawhi. I mean, I understand, and JVT knows this as well as anyone. How many games you're going to get out of Kawhi is always a guessing game, but when he plays, he's very good. I'll take a shot on the long number. I think that'll be a very competitive division. I like that number.
So here's my question for you, because we know, as Rich Paul said, he's not going to go to the New York Knicks because they already won the title. We know that he's not going to go to the Boston Celtics. He might go to the 76ers, and we know he's not going to go to the Nets, and he's not going to go to the Raptors. So the reason why I bring those up, Will, is do you actually wait to see where LeBron goes? Because if he's in the division with Philadelphia, you might get more on Toronto to win the division. So you just sit back and wait. And if he doesn't go to the division, then you can still grab this number, which should be available wherever LeBron goes outside of the Atlantic.
Certainly a viable and reasonable strategy. I don't get the sense he's going to Philly, but I don't have a great sense of where he's going to go. The one thing I was pretty confident, and I was on, I think, was it Tuesday, the day he announced he's leaving LA, and him and Kawhi both leave LA on the same day, which was kind of interesting. I said to humans, and humans agreed, we know LeBron. And look, people give LeBron a hard time. Some people never say anything nice about him. I think people are unfair at times. He loves the attention. He loves the idea that everyone on all these shows is talking about where's he going to go and speculating. This is this is the one last time he's going to get that attention. It used to be a, semi-annual thing of where LeBron's going to go. So this is going to drag out. Where he ultimately goes doesn't sound like it's Golden State. I don't know, Cleveland. Your guess is as good as mine. I know Zach Lowe and Bill Simmons were talking about San Antonio. I don't think he's going there from a basketball standpoint. That made plenty of sense. But your strategy of waiting to see where LeBron goes certainly makes sense.
Mm. One more thing before we let you go. We had the conversation not too long ago on this show about some early potential Heisman contenders and dark horses. You're already looking into that market, too, here this offseason. Was there a name that stood out to you?
yeah, I don't know that you're going to get the 50-to-1s last year like you got with Mendoza and those long shot tickets with Indiana, and you kind of, you know, have that in the back of your mind, like, man, I want to pull that off like somebody, you know, must have last year. To me, Gunnar Stockton, 18-20-to-1 in that range. I just look at Georgia's schedule, and it's fun this year with college football. You actually can look at the Heisman odds, and there's a good, like, 15 names you recognize right off the bat. Like, hey, I know this guy in his school. You don't have to relearn the sport all over again. But Georgia does not play Texas. They don't play Texas A&M. They don't play LSU. They don't play Tennessee. They play Oklahoma, but they host Oklahoma. The two tough games, they're at Bama, they're at Ole Miss. To me, if you split those, it's very possible you're looking at like a one-loss Georgia team. I think they'll bounce back. You know, weren't great defensively last year. Always got a ton of weapons on offense. A one-loss Georgia team opens up things to me. Georgia SEC title, you know, Natty, Stockton for Heisman. So I think Georgia's schedule is pretty favorable, and I'm high on them in terms of the futures and the quarterback.
Well, you're the man. Thank you for doing this. What time are you on tomorrow?
3 to 7 Eastern.
Beautiful.
Just
everybody,
gotta rub it in, huh?
Make sure you tune in. That's what I'm gonna say. Let's hype our man up. Thank you, Will. We appreciate it.
You guys are having parties. I'm working, but hey, somebody's got to work around here, you know.
Yep. Keeping the lights on. Always appreciate Will Hill. Make sure you follow him at Not The Will Hill. And of course, check out the Should Have Bet More podcast wherever you get your podcasts. If our boy Will is correct on Gunnar Stockton winning the Heisman this year, he'll be the first Georgia Bulldog to do so since 1982. Herschel Walker, pretty good company. Okay, we got to step aside here. When we come back, resetting for hour two of the program. You won't want to miss it. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.